Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you guys with us today. It was an entertaining weekend of NFL football. Always an entertaining weekend of NFL football. The Chiefs, they win again. They just keep winning. They are now 7-0. Some other interesting things happening as well. To look back at the weekend that was, very happy to welcome in somebody who covers and writes about the NFL for NBC Sports. He is Patrick Daugherty. He is on Twitter at RotoPat, R-O-T-O-P-A-T. Patrick, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Thanks for having me, and I'm really thankful you had me for the NFL segment and not the disappointing Mizzou segment. I am an anguished alum, and I knew the most dangerous thing in the world this year was having actual expectations for my Tigers.
Yeah, well, they're still in the top 25 somehow, some way, but that it's a bad look when you go into the season with college football playoff expectations and the losses are very one-sided the way they've come in the Texas A&M and the Alabama game.
They are, but, being a true Mizzou fan, I blame the refs for A&M, and I blame injuries for Alabama, and I can sleep easy at night. Then.
Okay. You know what? Whatever gets you through the night is that's good, and I don't want to mess with that. I don't want to add to your personal anguish. Let's talk a little bit about the Chiefs, because it's just remarkable on an every week basis. They're finding ways to win. Sometimes you look at the box score and you go, well, how did they win that game? And they end up doing it. Sometimes they have problems with the Raiders. They're able to go into Las Vegas and win again. This is the team right now in the NFL that it feels like almost nothing matters. They're just going to win.
It's true. I joked online a few weeks ago that it kind of seems like the worse the Chiefs become, the more like unstoppable they are. And from a sense that it doesn't matter how many problems pop up. It's almost like a whack-a-mole situation, but it's a situation where they're actually whacking the mole. And, it's crazy. I'm in the fantasy football space, and fantasy players, they cannot believe that, Patrick Mahomes is no longer, a weekly 320 yards, three touchdowns. And, that kind of is, tinting, the perception of the Chiefs in the fantasy space, but it's the way this Chiefs team has changed, where that was the baseline for these championships and for this new dynasty for so long, and how it just kind of shifted, almost not overnight, but kind of imperceptibly, to being defense first. And as they're trying to figure out things on offense, trying to work in new guys all the time. Some of them are new old friends, like Kareem Hunt, Mecole Hardman. They're in this situation where they have to be experimenting on offense, and they can get away with it because of how good the defense is, and because how Brady Mahomes is, where even if he can't post the box scores that made him famous right now, he's never going to really make the big mistake. He's always going to make the right decision. And whereas before they were an explosive offensive team, they're just a fundamentals and little things team right now. And it's frustrating my fantasy football compatriots, but they look like they are the clear Super Bowl favorite to me. And right now, I would say cruising to a third straight Super Bowl title.
Is it a positive development? Two things: that Travis Kelce had a pretty good performance, a bunch of receptions, 90 yards. So it wasn't long. His long was 25 yards in the game, but he actually caught a bunch of passes, which is something he really hasn't done this year. And then the numbers this week don't really matter, but they're going to continue to integrate DeAndre Hopkins more and more and more. And you got to think that he's got the opportunity to become more impactful as the season goes along. When you look at those two things, should that give Chiefs fans the belief that the offense and that receiving group could be a little bit better than it is right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's kind of happened since the Rashee Rice injury is, the Chiefs in some ways have kind of become I always compare them to the Golden State Warriors at their peak, where it's the regular season, it's important. You can't punt on the regular season. A team that's always just thinking ahead to the playoffs, understandably so. And I think the plan coming into the season is kind of, not that they were going to snap count Travis Kelce, but, just not make Travis have to get 10 or 12 targets a game, have him catching 8 to 9 passes a game. Just try to keep him a little fresher with the postseason in mind. It's kind of what they did last year. And so again, in the fantasy space, that was really frustrating people, because he was catching 2 or 3 passes of a game to begin the year. But I think they had one eye on the postseason. But then when Rashee Rice went out, Rashee Rice had taken kind of a lot of that short area work, that work over the middle of the field that is Travis Kelce's bread and butter. And after Rashee Rice got hurt, it was kind of they flipped the switch. And Travis Kelce is not quite like still like prime era Travis Kelce, but we're seeing box score stat lines like way more similar to his prime. And I think that is kind of what was proven there, that he could have probably been doing this from the beginning of the season. They wanted to try to save him for the postseason. They don't have that luxury right now. And I think Travis Kelce can keep this up. Even if DeAndre Hopkins, who didn't even really run that many routes this week, obviously his usage will ramp up. Maybe he'll take some of the load off Travis Kelce, but I definitely think that the recent improved box scores from Travis Kelce are going to remain a theme going forward.
You've got your Sunday Aftermath column, which is available at NBCSports.com, and you go through a few things. First off, the Browns beat the Ravens, which was completely unexpected. Jameis Winston at quarterback, he played well. I always kind of pump the brakes when these backup quarterbacks come in and have a good first game, because we should learn from Andy Dalton and Joe Flacco and whatever other backup quarterback in the last 5 years who've come in and played well in their first game, and then everything's kind of regressed to the mean afterwards. But is it more about Jameis Winston, or is it more of an indictment on Deshaun Watson that the Browns were able to do what they did against Baltimore?
Well, kind of all of the above, and also, honestly, an indictment of the Ravens, where it's flying a little bit beneath the radar to like more casual football fans, that the Ravens' defense just has not lived up to reputation this year. They're actually allowing the most passing yards in the NFL. They're allowing a ton of fantasy football points to quarterbacks, where they just are having a really hard time getting things sorted on defense. But, I mean, the statistical comparisons between what Jameis did and what Deshaun Watson was doing, I mean, is not even close. I mean, this is after, too, they traded Amari Cooper 330 yards yesterday. Deshaun Watson had never even been over 200 all year. He threw three touchdowns, and Deshaun Watson had five all year. You know, those are just, like, the raw, like a statistical, like, stats. Like, the more advanced stats, he blew them out of the way, like, efficiency metrics, and he had some luck. He had some dropped interceptions, but the quarterback or attempts are kind of a quarterback stat. It just seemed like Deshaun Watson just could not handle like a high volume passing attack anymore, amongst many things he could not handle. And Jameis has always been a guy kind of like Joe Flacco, kind of like a Kirk Cousins, where it doesn't really matter what your style might have been before you play Jameis Winston. He's going to throw the ball a lot. Some weeks it's going to horribly backfire. But whereas before, I mean, the Browns were scratching and clawing for like any production, moving the ball at all. Jameis, you're going to get the interceptions, but he actually goes down the field. He's just going to actually play quarterback. And they're going to have they're going to have games where the other team doesn't drop three interceptions. The Ravens dropped three interceptions the other day. But whereas it was kind of like abandoned hope, like all you enter here with Deshaun Watson, the Browns are now going to be at least be in every game they play with their defense and Jameis, you know, just actually running like an actual offense.
The thing that I'm kind of stuck on when it comes to the Browns, and I know Kevin Stefanski handed over play calling duties, but it's still his offense. He's a really good coach and a really good offensive play caller and a good offensive scheme designer, and they just look terrible, and then all of a sudden they look good with Jameis Winston, and I just keep going back to how much Deshaun Watson seemingly took them down.
The Deshaun Watson situation is just one of the craziest in recent NFL history for a lot of reasons. And I think two things happened with Deshaun. You know, the year he was away, things have been changing very quickly in the NFL over the past 5 or 6 years. You know, they're always changing. But we had, like, the peak of that all-time passing era, the Breeze, Brady, Manning era, where passing offense, explosive offenses just took the day. And I think people kind of took it for granted that that era would just always continue. That was like the NFL as it was now. But I think what we've kind of learned is that actually it was just kind of a special collection of talent. But then defenses finally adjusted. I think Deshaun Watson just missed probably a really pivotal year. Like the year to year, the defenses have just been getting like exponentially more complex. I think that happened to Deshaun Watson. And, you know, he banged his shoulder several times. And to me, he looked like a guy this year kind of trying to like shot put the ball. Like the dreaded, like he could, when he did get it down the field, he was just having to heave it, having to put too much into it. And I think he lost more than probably anyone expected in that year away from the field. I mean, physically, I just think he lost a lot more than expected, the shoulder injuries and just kind of a perfect storm of things not going right for Deshaun Watson and that Browns offense.
Last thing for you, and it was probably the biggest story out of the weekend, but just another loss for the Jets. This team is terrible. They're dysfunctional. They've fired a coach. They've got an offensive coordinator who doesn't seem like he has any clue, an interim head coach who just is in over his head? I mean, this could not be any more of a disaster than it is right now for the Jets.
No, it could not be. And they're out of scapegoats, too. Like, they fired two people. You know, they traded four people. They've already, like, pulled all the fire alarms, basically. And the Jets, if you were being generous, there were some excuses for maybe the slow start. You never expected them to start 2-5, but it was a really, really tough schedule to begin the year, and especially a tough schedule with just really good defenses. But the Patriots yesterday were supposed to be the beginning of the turnaround, of the let-up. And then to lose that game, they were just all the same. Nothing was fixed. Like, this, it's a Hall of Fame quarterback, like an inner ring Hall of Fame quarterback. And the offensive operation is just so sloppy. They burned all three of their timeouts really early in the first half. They burned two early in the second half. You know, you have a guy who's up alongside Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and they're getting pre-snap penalties almost every series. The operations is terrible. It moves slowly. So, like, they don't – when they're falling behind, they're having trouble keeping up because it's not an up-tempo offense. And just even now, if they finish the year strong, say they go 7-2, they're still at 9-8. They're probably on the outside looking in of the playoffs. And, you know, sometimes I get accused of being hyperbolic, but – yesterday just kind of felt like the end of the Aaron Rodgers era, yeah. Unfortunately, where I just don't know how this team can come back from 2-6.
I agree. And look, I lived in Wisconsin for a long time while he was a Packer, and he offended a lot of people in the way he went about things, but he always followed it up with victories. Now he's the same guy, but he's losing, and it just feels like the world is rooting against him. And I have to wonder, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, is this going to be something that impacts his legacy, or are we just going to think back on the Green Bay years? Because there are so many people that are really taking joy in Aaron Rodgers not having much success.
I will say that, you know, these bitter ends tend to fade. So I guess he has that working in his favor. And so you're gonna see, just a guy who's not to like, go psychoanalyst here, but not playing with a lot of joy.
No.
Sound dumb. Like, I don't think I've seen Aaron Rodgers smile this season, and it kind of understandably so. But I don't think it's a legacy tarnisher necessarily. You know, it depends on what he keeps doing off the field, of course. But I think kind of like Favre with the Packers, it's almost like a rite of passage for a lot of these guys. You go finish your career, usually it's dismal. I don't think this is going to affect his legacy for what he did with the Packers. I don't know. He's the kind of guy, he could go do something totally crazy. He could have a disappointing season, then go do something totally crazy. So I guess the ball is in his court on that one.
Patrick, if people want to read your stuff, they can do so at NBCSports.com. Just give a plug on how to find it. And like you said, you're a lot in the fantasy space, so people who play fantasy football definitely be interested in the content that you're putting out.
Yeah, RotoPat, R-O-T-O-Pat on Twitter. NBCSports, RotoWorld.com in particular. I podcast several times a week, the RotoWorld Football Show. So yeah, check it out, especially if you want to read about fantasy football.
Are you based in St. Louis?
I am. So that's what I can never say no. America's Sports Voice came away.
Oh, baby.
It's special to come on. So, yeah, I am a St. Louisan. It's tough during the season to fit things in. I would never say no to KMOX. A lifelong listener, truly a privilege to come on.
Awesome. Well, we'll get you on again. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much, Matt.
All right, very good. That's Patrick Dord joining us here on the program, and we appreciate him taking a few moments. I did not realize he was a St. Louis guy until I looked at the Twitter bio. Nice job by Kyle Sixta of booking him, and now we know that we could call him up whenever, and he's just going to say yes, because that is the power of KMOX. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up hour number one of the program. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.